The John and Ken Show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. Tax Revolt 2010. Heads on a stick.
Yeah, now Schwarzenegger's in his last year in office, and last Friday they released the details of his budget message, and then he showed up on Meet the Press over the weekend in a week interview from the Meet the Press host, David Gregory.
He was
not pressed on some of his...
He was making a bizarre claim that selling your vote would never happen in Sacramento. You'd get sued. It's against the law.
Referring to Senator Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who apparently did sell his vote in order to bring more federal dollars to his state. On health care reform.
The way things stand now, if this Senate version of the health care bill passed, Nebraska would get its extra Medicaid money paid for. No other state would. And that's what he traded his vote in for. And Schwarzenegger was taunting Barbara Boxer and Dianne Feinstein, saying, why don't you guys sell your vote for something? How come we're screwed here?
The other part of this is, too, he was urging them to do more to bring more federal tax dollars back to California. There was a study a few years ago that said we only got 78 cents on the dollar. In other words, for every dollar in taxes we sent to Washington, only 78 cents came back to California from federal money. Boxer shot back and said, well, I just did a study, and last year it was up to $1.45 we got back for every dollar.
Sounds like she made that number up.
Well, to talk about...
Because, you know, the reporters just report. They don't go check and find the truth.
Talk about all of these issues. We're going to talk to Congressman Ed Royce, the Republican from Orange County, Fullerton, one of the base cities there. Let's talk to him.
Ed, welcome again. How are you doing?
Thank you. Good to be with you.
I want to get at the truth. How much money do we get back from Washington for every dollar of federal tax money we paid? It shouldn't be that hard to figure out.
It isn't that hard, and we don't get back as much as we pay in. But nevertheless, California's budget's in trouble because state government every year spends more than they take in, and they won't stop spending. But that's not to say that there aren't policies in Washington, like illegal immigration, that doesn't contribute massively to the deficit in California. And the example that you're talking about right now, Nebraska, when this health care bill passes, the additional cost to California will be $4 billion in Medicaid costs. Now, those costs in Nebraska, which, of course, is pretty de minimis to start with, but those will be picked up by the federal taxpayers.
So if this ever went through in its current Senate form, we would have to pay $4 billion in state tax money?
Every year.
Because the federal government says so.
Because the increased coverage of people that are going to get a subsidy and the requirement for the state of California to cover a portion of this Medicaid is going to push up the cost to the state of California by a total of $4 billion a year.
Let me ask you something. From
this Nebraska effect?
No. That's what it's going to cost the state.
Here's why.
Nebraska's not going to have to pay their extra money. We have to pay an extra $4 billion.
Yeah, most of the other states are going to have to pay it. And any time that you set up an entitlement like this, you've got to expect that there's going to be huge costs. There's increased costs to the state, certainly to businesses who are going to have the mandate on the new taxes to pay for it. The question was, who was going to pay the cost? Now, what the governor is saying, here's the irony. The governor is saying, well, when I said I was for the health bill, they didn't tell me that the state of California was going to have to pick up $3 to $4 billion a year in additional costs. Well, what do you expect? And expecting that Boxer or Feinstein, our senators, are going to work against this health bill when they have been pushing, you know, to increase the support for illegal immigration. They've done everything they can for amnesty, and at the same time, they've stripped out the language that used to be in the law. They did this in the state Senate, the language that required you to show a birth certificate in order to to get on these government programs. So now all he has to do is give a Social Security number, which even the head of the Social Security Department, commissioner, even the commissioner says that a Social Security number does not prevent anyone from fraudulently receiving coverage under Medicaid.
Let me ask you about something Schwarzenegger has been bringing up repeatedly, because he does strike a chord in that, you know, people in theory denounce all the horse trading that goes on and all the bribery that goes on in Congress. But then there's another part, in, I think, in everybody's soul that says, well, if it's going to go on, can't we get our share? And if Ben Nelson is going to hold out for extra bucks for Nebraska, why doesn't Boxer and Feinstein hold out for more money here?
But
like,
how
come the last guy to hold out ends up with the windfall? That does seem to be kind of screwy.
And it depends upon one's priorities. And here's what's happening. The country's going to be bankrupt, just as the state will be, by these kinds of policies. By everyone going along with every interest group, and in particular what is pushing a lot of this is the desire to get coverage for people who are here illegally. We're going to see the amnesty bill next month. But in the meantime, this has been set up in a way in which many people who are here illegally are going to be able to access this and get a subsidy paid for by the taxpayers. And what we fail to recognize...
The illegals are going to be able to get a subsidy?
They will. They will. I talked today...
I thought that was out of the Senate bill.
I talked to the representatives from both FAIR and from Numbers USA about that. They've looked at the language in the Senate bill, and as you know, Jeff Sessions tried to make an amendment on the Senate floor, which Harry Reid prevented, which would have really nailed down the question of whether or not you were going to you're going to have some kind of proof other than Social Security number. Think for a minute. If you're here as a visa overstay, you've already got that Social Security number. That's 40% of our illegal immigration problem right now. You've got the Social Security number. So you can go down and you can get onto this program. There's no way to prevent that. And second, think about the fact that next month Chuck Schumer in the Senate is supposed to bring up his amnesty bill just in case somebody doesn't get the message, just so that everybody, you know, will be able to take advantage of this. Now, there's no way we can afford to make this an entitlement program, one more unfunded government entitlement program that we're going to have to borrow money to pay for at the federal level. The states are going to have to pick up their share, except for Nebraska. And on top of all
Is that legal? Is that constitutional for state to get its entitlement paid for, but not the other 49?
We're going to go to court. I'm part of fighting this because I think this is going to bankrupt the republic if we pass this bill. One of the things we're going to do is take it to the Supreme Court, but if we have to. And now we're not done with the process here. We're still fighting, and as you know, even in Nebraska, 18% of the people are for this bill in Nebraska. 68%, according to the Rasmussen poll, are against it. And by 2-1 right now, people are opposing Senator Nelson in Nebraska over this issue. So it is an issue which is sort of galvanizing the public right now, the majority of the people in opposition. But I don't think yet that people have fully realized the magnet effect that this legislation will have and the subsidies in it will have, because it'll be a message around the world. If you get to the United States and you get on these programs, you're going to be able eventually to find your way into a government insurance program for your health care costs. And I don't see any way that that's sustainable, and that's backed up by every serious economist that's looked at this.
Well, when you talk about the tax dollars that should come to California to reimburse us for the costs of legal immigration, and I know what side you're on, Ed, because we've talked about this enough times. All we hear here in California from guys like Schwarzenegger is, there's nothing I can do about illegal immigration. It's a federal problem. It's a federal issue. And then we don't get any money. We don't get any reimbursement for the cost of legal immigration. Does this ever get discussed? Is there ever any movement on this? I think the only thing we get is a pittance for the cost of jailing illegal aliens.
It is a pittance. According to this, representative said it was 10%. Now, this is one of the arguments, though, about the senators, because on the Senate side, they cut the reimbursement this year. And California, of course, has the largest share of illegal immigrants. So, take the state's number, 10%. It's somewhere around that. If we get that fraction back, you can imagine the burden on the deficit of the state, on the incarceration costs. And as we've discussed, you go into L.A. County, one half of the inmates are here illegally in L.A. County. You look into the state prison system, you've got huge percentages of people that are running up these costs. But then on the other hand, you ask yourself, well, if cities like San Francisco are going to be sanctuary cities, if cities like L.A. are going to be sanctuary cities, what do you expect is going to happen, you know, if you're not helping to enforce federal law? California right. should do more on the border. The governor, you know, should do more in terms of putting the National Guard on our border to assist in this. But most importantly, Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein should reverse their policies and quit standing with the open borders lobby and quit trying to eradicate every single requirement that we try to have in law to make sure that citizens are using these programs or resident aliens and not illegal immigrants.
Ed, hang on the line. We'll continue with Congressman Ed Royce, Republican from Fullerton, coming
up. It's a conversation that Schwarzenegger started about how much money we get back from Washington, D.C. for every federal tax dollar we send their way.
This is the John and Ken Show. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. John and Ken Show, John Cobelt and Ken Champeau. We've got Ed Royce on the line, Congressman, Republican from Fullerton. We're discussing Schwarzenegger demanding money from Washington to fill the hole in the budget that he's helped dig for so many years. Ed, I do get the sense that there is no significant federal money that's going to come.
Yeah, I think when we saw that fight in the Senate, they actually reduced the amount of SCAP funding. Now, that's the funding that would have gone to reimbursement for incarceration of illegal aliens. I think you got a sense there of how seriously this is not taken by other states.
Why? I mean, we do have the largest congressional delegation.
Yes.
And we never seem to get the funding in return. Why is that? I mean, you would think we would wield some power. It's right. The biggest state in the union. It's the richest state in the union. Why is there such a...
It has to do with priorities, and we've watched it decline. We've watched that reimbursement rate decline, but part of the focus of a lot of the interest groups have been on another subject, and that is on eliminating the documentation requirements for benefit programs. That's a priority for pro-amnesty groups, and so that's an area where, unfortunately, our senators have aligned with those organizations. So they argue that requiring documentation hurts legal immigrants and citizens. And, you know, the truth is that those groups do not believe in limits. They don't believe in enforcing the law, in my view, or living within our means. And so we end up instead with the focus on how we can increase these benefits without understanding that the costs have to be paid for.
Well, you know, you made a good speech before about what Feinstein and Boxer are going to do, but they're not going to change their minds anytime soon. They're old ladies. They're set in their ways. They want open borders and amnesty, and they don't want the federal government to finance, you know, all the problems the illegal aliens have created in this state. We're stuck. And even during the Republican years, when you guys had the House and the Senate and the presidency, we didn't get any money back then either.
Well, we got some back then. It's been cut from that, but we were battling Bush
pennies.
Back then. And I agree with you in terms of the mistakes Bush were making.
That's right. Bush was the enemy back then.
That's right. He was. And we had a lot of fights with him on amnesty, and now we're going to have another one because the amnesty advocates right now prefer to grant amnesty to 12 million illegal aliens, and you know what that's going to do in terms of adding to the health care bill. You know, the benefit programs are going to skyrocket because we're not just going to be talking about people here now getting on the program. It's going to be a magnet. It's going to be a magnet for people all over the world to come here, and we're going to see an increase not only in demands for these services, but an increase in the number of people who are going to compete for jobs.
What is the psychology there? There is so much momentum for doing something that seems on paper to be stupid and is also wildly unpopular
right.
and is probably going to ignite a political backlash in November. Why are they hell-bent on doing this? Why not just stop and say, you know what, this has become a big turd here. Let's stop. Nobody wants this.
Yeah, they are living under the assumption that they can yet pitch this and sell this. And you see it in the paper every day. They're busting a gut to try to sell this idea of a universal amnesty. You pick up the paper on any day and you see stories about how beneficial. You know, I just heard on your news, the news, there was this argument that it would actually bring more money into California if we had a wholesale amnesty. Never was anything farther from the truth. You know, the professor Samuelson, who's looked at this, he he sees exactly the opposite consequence of this.
We would import a lot more poverty. Well, yeah, we've imported poverty, and if you legalize poverty, that's only going to cost more money.
And you subsidize it, so you get more of it whenever you're giving these government programs out as an entitlement.
Got to go, Ed. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks.
Ed Royce, the congressman from Fullerton, the Republican, on the amnesty and the health care program. And
how much money we get from Washington to pay for California's deficit. All right, when we come back, we'll set our sights in L.A. County and their deficit problems.
This is the John and Ken Show. Carrier Elmer has the news now. What's going on? The John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. Tax Revolt 2010, heads on a stick.
Yeah, one of the sad side effects of our budget deficit problems is this idea that they have in Sacramento, led by Governor Schwarzenegger, to sell all sorts of state properties. And the one that was hot in the news the last few months is the idea to sell the Orange County Fairgrounds. Schwarzenegger's people hope they can get $180 million to help feed the spending beast. It's a 150-acre property that includes the fairgrounds, and Schwarzenegger wants to sell it. However, the Assembly Business and Professions Committee voted unanimously to support a bill that would block the sale of the land. The Orange County Fairgrounds are in Costa Mesa. I went for the first time to that fair a couple of years ago.
It's a good fair. It's a good fair.
I thought you said it's not fair.
Oh, no, but that's a good fair.
Yeah, I don't know that the Orange County Fair would not exist anymore. Maybe the private entity that purchased the land from the state
would turn around
and just, you know, run the fair.
Now, wouldn't they develop it and just put up cookie-cutter houses?
Well, that is also a possibility, like, considering the economy.
How about beige houses with orange tile roofs? You don't see those anymore in Orange County. Remember, there used to be a lot of them?
You know, during the height of the housing boom, there was a real shortage of residential housing in Orange County. That certainly would have happened described.
When they were giving the homes away to all the poor people and the illegal aliens.
But you're right. Somebody might grab it, John. You're right, and hold it. And then when the housing economy approves, put up the beige properties.
I don't even know where that is.
Well, so Democrats and Republicans came together to agree to block the possible sale of the Orange County Fairgrounds. And apparently there's a lot of emotional attachment to it.
A lot of people in the county want to protect it.
If
you endanger something like the county fair, which everybody loves and enjoys, and it suddenly disappears for a one-time financial hit that's going to go into the black hole of state employee salaries. I mean,
you think the fair would reappear at another location?
I don't know.
I don't know that either, but I'm just saying, isn't it likely if it's such a cherished tradition?
I don't know. I've never gone, so I don't know. But
I went once. I watched the cow milking. What?
I think it's more a Terry Ray attraction.
Yeah.
And there was those weird foods like fried Oreos and fried Coca-Cola.
But there was an assemblyman, an Orange County assemblyman, who didn't understand that the activities could also cease if somebody else bought the fairground. And then he said he regretted his vote and is trying to take it back.
Oh, I see. You mean the fair could cease?
Yeah.
I just thought it could happen somewhere else if they can find the right property.
They could move the fair,
If there is a right property.
They want to protect it. Well, you know, everything is gobbled up by development. It may be hard to do. And in another note, sort of dealing with the tax revolt, it looks like those judges have finally accepted Schwarzenegger's prison release plan. We've been talking about the state prison population and how this three-judge panel basically took over our prisons, or at least they think they have taken over our prisons.
Although I think they have.
Well, they ordered so much more spending on health care to the point now where we spend $17,000 an inmate per year just on health care. 17 grand. What could you do out there? Could you buy yourself some insurance with that money if you're not insured?
I don't
get yourself in prison.
I don't know how that could be. I don't understand that. How could you spend $17,000 a person on health care? How would you do that?
Prison spending is the biggest boondoggle ever. And what's sad about this is you and I believe that if these are felons, they belong in jail and don't release them. But the complaint is, well, we're spending too much on them.
Well, because
nobody ever seems to tackle this to get some of the
spending
reduced.
$50,000 a head, and Texas is spending one-third of that. We checked the numbers. You know, George Runner didn't seem to know the other day, but we double and triple checked the numbers. And Texas is really spending one-third of that. So is Florida. I don't know what to say. Our health care costs alone matches what Texas spends in its entirety on a prisoner. Everything. amounts to about 17, 18, 19,000, depending on the study you look at. And here it's 50 and going up? I mean, and Dan Walters and the Sacramento Bee blamed a lot of it not only on the health care, but also on the outrageous prison salaries and health benefits and pensions.
Yeah, the prison guard union gave a lot of money to politicians, including Gray Davis, and got themselves a pretty good deal for their workers.
This is why you must, and we will, fight every tax increase, major and minor, with every bone, every fiber of your body. Because all it is a huge spending orgy on government workers. Their salaries, their benefits, their pension. It's a spending orgy. And anytime they say they've got to cut something that you think is valuable, it's because they are not cutting and laying off workers, which is the only rational way to do this. It isn't complicated.
The prison system is the most annoying problem we have with California state spending. And let me just explain it, because it's the microcosm of the bigger problem. I mean, look at what we have here. It's like a conundrum. We're spending $50,000 per inmate, right? More, really, than most other states. And as you just cited before, more than twice as much as Texas spends. Yet we're being told by a three-judge panel of federal judges that the prisons are too crowded and we have to release them. So the implication is we're not spending enough. So if they want to reduce that problem and keep all the prisoners in prison, they have to build more prisons. And there's a crowd that doesn't want to do that. Ah, we already spend enough on prisons. Yet here we are in a situation where we're spending so much on the prison system, and yet we may have to release 40,000 inmates over the next 2 years. 40,000 inmates.
Because we're spending too
much. A lot of them felons.
We're spending way too much on the prison guards and way too much on their health care. When we should just be,
if that's what it is, then go break it and solve it.
If Texas can
because you can't. This is the worst of two worlds we're in.
Yeah, we're out of space. They won't build prisons. They spend a fortune on health care and a fortune on prison guard salaries in every major
and
category.
Apparently there's a huge middle bureaucracy in the prison system,
that too.
Just the guards.
Well, it's the same thing as in the school system. These huge – in fact, what I read is California has a much larger mid-level bureaucracy than Texas. I mean, it isn't really this complicated, right? You put guys in a cell.
Don't remind me of the school spending.
It is.
With the teachers and the administrators.
Because
the power of the union.
Yeah, well, because they bribe the politicians. Their power only comes from the bribe money, which, by the way, is originally our tax money.
Well, our prisons bother me more because with the teachers, the kids don't get educated and they're stupid. That's going to hurt us. But if a prisoner is released and kills me, that's a problem.
That's really going to hurt you.
So we've ended up in the worst of all worlds with the prison system. We're spending records amount of money, more per prisoner than just about every other state, and yet we're being told we have to release 40,000 inmates. And because you're right, John, the spending didn't prioritize in the right area. We would have had these judges off our back if instead of giving out raises and hiring more mid-level bureaucratic administrators in the prison system, we had just built more prisons.
Right.
Paid guards less to work at the prisons. It's too bad. You don't want the job, somebody else will take it.
And also accept that what we're spending on prisons is good, because when all those prisoners get released, they steal from us, which cost us money. They rape, maim, and murder us, which not only costs money, but destroys people's lives, destroys the lives of families. I mean, the cost of keeping them in is better than the cost of having them out. We went through a huge crime waves in the 1980s and early 90s when crack cocaine ruled the ghettos. We've already seen how horrible it is to live in a high crime society. So we fix things. Three strikes, put everybody away for good. See you later. There's nothing wrong with paying for prisons. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of prisoners. It means we've identified the bad guys and we've put them away, and now we can live our lives in a more peaceful way. I hate hearing all the stupid cliches about, we spend more money on prisons and schools. It's like, whoever, so what?
That's apples and oranges. I hate that comparison.
So what? Now, we're spending too much for all the reasons we said, But I don't think that you can put an arbitrary limit on how much you spend on prisons. You spend whatever you need to spend in order for the bad guys not to hurt us.
Yeah, you're absolutely dangerous. You're absolutely right. It's dangerous to say we have to put a cap on prison spending. And that's what Schwarzenegger wants to do. He wants to get a constitutional amendment to cap the amount we can spend on prisons. That's really dumb. And that's really dangerous.
Also, don't over-romanticize, you know, kids going to college. You know, more than half the kids drop out of college. I read this the other day that the number of kids who go to college is like 58 or 60%, but only 25 or 27%, you know, depending on the study, walk out of it with a degree. More than half the people don't make it through college. So to insist that everybody is supposed to go, everybody's entitled to go, obviously not everybody's smart enough or driven enough or wired appropriately to do it. And it makes me wonder how much money is wasted on people who go for a year or 2 years, you know, because we subsidize kids going to the state university system, both the university and the state system. We subsidize all those 1 and 2 year dropouts.
Well, sometimes. Well,
what's the point of that? How much money is wasted there? Because kids give up after a year or two because they weren't cut out for it.
Sometime later on this month, we're expected to hear the U.S. Supreme Court decide whether or not it wants to take Schwarzenegger's appeal about this federal judge panel taking over our prison system. And here's another question I have, and I know we talked to State Senator George Runner, this keeps coming up. If we're now at a point where we're spending $17,000 a year in health care and over $50,000 a year per inmate, aren't we at the level that they want us to be? Why do we still have to release 40,000 prisoners?
We're at triple the level.
So what they're saying is, well, you are spending $50,000 an inmate and $17,000 of that in health care, but there's still not enough room. They're still too crowded in there.
Well, no, what you have is three judges who feel like these prisoners ought to be released, and they keep coming up with a new reason. But it's all window dressing. The real reason is they think we're incarcerating too many people, and they're doing a public service. They're engaging in social justice by releasing these 10,000 downtrodden inmates and giving them a chance at another crack at freedom.
Yeah, and it's if they release them all and they go right into college. Because, you see, we're shifting the spending from prisons to college. So let's release all the inmates and send them right to college, because now that's where the money's going. Great. All right, when we come back, we'll talk about L.A. County. Remember Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas and his $707,000 plan to make over his office, which you, the listeners, helped stop? Well, today they're screaming that it may be the worst budget they've ever had to prepare in the history of L.A. County. We'll explain all this when we come back.
On the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. The John and Ken Show, John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. Right before Christmas, we had a great time exposing the morons on the L.A. County Supervisors Board for approving the $707,000 office renovation plan that Mark Ridley Thomas had.
Yeah, and we had a lot of help from you listeners, bombarding them with your emails and your phone calls to stop this thing. The supervisors simply voted 4-0 to let Mark Ridley Thomas's outrageous office makeover go forward. And then right before the holidays, it was rescinded. But we're not giving up. We understand that he may dole it out in small portions over this year. Instead of grabbing all $700,000 at once, he may grab like $70,000 at a time for his office makeover.
Now, these clowns have a $3 million discretionary fund, all five of them. You got Xavier Oslobsky, Mike Antonovich, Gloria Molina, Don Kanabe, and Mark Ridley Thomas. They each get $3 million a year to do whatever they want with, and that's where Ridley Thomas was going to renovate his office, out of that fund.
And the other one said, yeah, that's why they didn't object. It's your money. Yeah, your money. And you do what you want with it. We won't get in your way.
They think they're entitled to this $3 million a year. Now, we're told by insiders that some of these people hoard the cash and end up with a savings account of many millions of dollars. We're told that Gloria Molina blew $7 million on some Hispanic cultural center that nobody cares about. So there's a lot of money at stake. And then, you know, you multiply this by a decade and you're talking about $150 million over the course of 10 years that they blow on nonsense. Well, today they're crying and squealing like stuck pigs because Schwarzenegger is threatening to steal county money and take it to Sacramento to spend on that black hole. There's a complicated system where your tax money gets shuffled around from one place to the next.
Well, and we're talking about social services. As you know, L.A. County actually, and your local county, wherever you live, administers programs that involve the in-home health care and some of the welfare. A lot of those other services are administered by the county. But as John said, like a shell game, they get money from the state. Well, Schwarzenegger, in his latest budget message, has threatened to cut nearly $2 billion that L.A. County uses for those services. So they're going to sit there and say, well, these people are needy. We need to find that money somewhere so these programs don't get cut by us. And that's why they're crying and screaming poverty.
Yeah, but they're willing to spend $150 million over the course of a decade on their discretionary nonsense. Office renovation, Hispanic cultural centers, and garbage like that. What's Yaroslavsky and the rest of these idiots have to do is stand up and say, you know what? We're spending too much money on government employee salaries and health benefits and pensions. We have to start laying off in Sacramento thousands of state workers. Because that is why you're not going to have money for a children's welfare program.
Remember what Willie Brown said, 80% of the deficits of local governments, and L.A. County would be one of them, have been caused by rising public employee costs.
Right. So it's excessive compensation to public employees. That's the problem. You don't tell the taxpayers that they're hard-hearted. You don't ask them for any more money because, again, we have the highest tax rates in the state. You got to connect these dots here, okay? Don't act like a TSA worker at LAX. If we're paying the highest tax rates in the nation and we have the highest compensated teachers in the nation and some of the best paid public workers in the nation, well, then that's why you don't have money for the kids' welfare program.
And this didn't happen overnight. It's been building up over the last 10 years. It's really spiraled out of control over the last 10 years.
Raise after raise
after raise. What's amazing is when the deficit problems really spiraled. Think about that.
What Schwarzenegger said, we have a 2,000% increase in our pension benefits that we have to pay out every year to state workers. A 2,000% increase in the last decade. That's where the money's has been spent. So these slobs who run, masquerade as county supervisors, these slobs have to stand up and say, you know what? You guys are spending too much money on government employees. The pension benefits are too generous. The health benefits are too generous. The salaries are too generous. The work rules are too absurd. We're not getting good productivity. The layoffs have to happen by the tens of thousands here.
And give up your little $3 million slush fund while you're at it.
Yeah.
That's an absurdity.
That's the truth, and we're going to keep pointing out that truth for every level of government, every time they want to cut something that causes an emotional reaction. No, you don't have to close the parks. No, you don't have to stop putting out fires. No, you don't have to cut the children's welfare program. What you have to do is lay off thousands of workers, give them pay cuts, reduce their pension benefits, and you reduce their health care benefits, which is what goes on all over the private sector. All right, we got news coming up next. This is the John and Ken Show. Terry Relmer has the news. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.